Well, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a delight to be with you all this evening to open up God's word for you. And before we do that, let us bow our hearts together in prayer, seeking his help. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, having already received your word this morning, and maybe there are here those here for the first time who are receiving it now. We pray that you would open up our eyes and hearts to it. Would you remove any distractions from us that we might come and hear your word just as we were bid by the Lord Jesus Christ as we sang Psalm 34. And so would you remove those distractions and would you forgive us our sins, so that we can attentively give ear to the word that you have for us this evening. And we all wish to see the Lord Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. And so would you cause our hearts to be joyful and to listen attentively to your word this evening. We pray that you would show us wonderful things in your law. We know that the grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. And so would you open it to us by your Holy Spirit for the glory of Christ in this area of Oklahoma. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I would invite you this evening to take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12. Our text for this morning's sermon is Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. And in this chapter of Matthew's Gospel, whose sole purpose is to set forth Jesus Christ as the Anointed One, who was the promised one to the people of God in the Old Testament scriptures, we find Christ here in this text engaging with two different type of people. In the first 14 verses of chapter 12, Matthew records how the Lord Jesus responded and interacted with the religious leaders who sought to discredit his public ministry by challenging his fidelity to the Sabbath day. And so that caused Christ to take a firm stand, to vehemently defend the law of God and his disciples against their groundless accusations. You see that in the first 8 verses of our text this evening. But when the religious leaders, those hard-hearted, those stiff-necked individuals, were not satisfied with Christ's words, they sought one more time to catch him so that they might accuse him by seeing whether or not he would heal a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And again, Christ sternly rebukes them, this time for their lack of mercy toward the broken and the disabled. And then he healed that poor man's hand to demonstrate to them and everyone else who is there that the God of Israel desires to show mercy to sinners according to his grace. But as we come to verse 15 of Matthew chapter 12 and the verses that follow, we no longer find Christ boldly engaging the unbelieving Pharisees in the public sphere. No, but instead we see something very different. Once the Pharisees had resolved that they would not bend the knee to the lordship of Christ and embrace his teaching and his gospel and would rather kill him than do so, what does Christ do in response? Well, congregation, Matthew in verses 15 through 21, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that answer, records for us what the Lord Jesus did after facing such hostility from sinners, and where we find the second type of people that he engages with. So now let's give our undivided attention to it. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 15. Hear now the words of the living God. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. Amen. And thus read the infallible, and holy, and perfect Word of God, and may He write these words upon each of our hearts and upon our minds. Brothers and sisters, in these words that we have just read, we have presented before our eyes, as it were, a very beautiful and lovely Redeemer in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we see displayed here in His gentle disposition toward poor, miserable, and helpless sinners. Matthew does this by pointing out that Christ's action and His words in verses 15 through 16, we have the definitive, the quantifiable, the irrefutable proof that this man was and is the servant of the Lord. That individual who Isaiah the prophet prophesied in the 42nd chapter of his book, as we just read. For Isaiah said by the Holy Ghost that when this chosen and beloved servant of the Lord would come to his people as their Redeemer, he would carry and conduct himself in such a way that he would show that he is a very gentle Savior of a very broken people. In fact, that was the Father's direct commission to the Lord Jesus. The very reason why He sent His dearly beloved Son into the world was to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Isaiah 61, verse 1. And so here in our text this evening, Matthew is saying that from these specific events in the life of Christ, in His withdrawing from those who opposed Him only to be found then among the sick, diseased, and outcasts, He proves Himself to be that very person that Isaiah spoke of some 2,600 years ago. And my dear friends, such amazing acts of condescension from this meek and mild Redeemer is good news for you today and for every day of your life. Because let's face the facts, brothers and sisters, my friends, you will experience various degrees and manifestations of brokenness in this life. Because of the fall of our father Adam, his breaking of the covenant of works has categorically left us and the entire human race and the world that we live in absolutely broken. Absolutely devastated, broken due to the effects of original sin and all the transgressions that proceed from it. We see this even now so clearly in our day and age. That means that all of us here in this room are broken people. Yes, even for you, Christian, who have embraced Jesus Christ in the gospel, though you have the perfect righteousness of Christ accredited to your account by faith, you will still find yourself broken, beat up, bruised, crushed in your spirits while you live in this body here on earth. This brokenness comes in many different shapes and forms. We are broken by our own sins, by trials, by afflictions, by sicknesses and very difficult providences. Our own deficiencies in the flesh, betrayal from friends, persecution, and or just feeling like all your strength is gone, plunging you into despair in your fight with a particular sin, or feeling that you cannot take another step with a sense of hopelessness that floods your soul. Have you ever experienced any of these things? I'm sure of it. But brothers and sisters, although we might be a broken people through and through by all these things and more, you do not need to despair of that reality. You do not need to despair in your soul and lament this reality as one without hope, because God, you see, in the person of Jesus Christ, is a perfectly mighty and capable Redeemer of broken sinners, just like you and just like me. He has every qualification. He meets all the criteria to come to your aid and to bind you up in the midst of your brokenness, whatever you may be experiencing. And this is exactly what Matthew is doing here in our text this evening, leading you by the hand, as it were, in the midst of your broken estate to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, to find true comfort for your weary souls. And so this text bids you to find comfort in the midst of your brokenness in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of two very satisfying reasons. We find these reasons in Matthew's quotation of Isaiah 42, specifically in verses 19 and 20 of our text, which functions as an inspired commentary, if you will, on the actions and the temperament of Christ our Lord. And so the first reason that you can find comfort in the midst of your brokenness, brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ is because He is a lowly Redeemer. He is a lowly Redeemer. In other words, we could say He is a humble Redeemer. He is a meek Redeemer. Look at verse 19 with me, which says of Christ, He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear His voice in the street. And this speaks of the amazing humility with which the Lord Jesus Christ manifested Himself to mankind in His incarnation. He did not come to this world as a conquering warrior king seeking to forcefully make a name for Himself through popularity or through self-advertisement as men often do in this world. No, rather He came in the form of a meek and a lowly servant as a man of sorrows acquainted with much grief, Isaiah 53, verse 3. Though He had every angel at His disposal to render immediate judgment upon the Pharisees who wanted Him dead, Christ, the lowly Savior, quietly withdraws from them to minister elsewhere among the despised, among the outcasts, and among the weak and the poor. Oh, how sweet this ought to be to every single one of us here today. You see, He wasn't concerned about winning arguments or being vindicated in the eyes of men. So after the Pharisees demonstrated that they wanted nothing to do with Him, He would not force Himself upon them. He gently knocks at the door of sinners' hearts, but when they will not open to Him in faith, He withdraws from them. This is what it means by He will not quarrel. He is not a brawler. Christ is not a Redeemer whose ministry is one of perpetually striving with sinners when they revile Him. That's not who He is. When He was reviled, the scriptures say, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but instead He committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2:23. Oh, how our world needs this today, to commit themselves to the Lord who judges righteously. And so rather than win an argument, though Christ Jesus our Lord can never be said to lose a single argument, He denies Himself of that right in the sight of men and chooses instead to suffer alongside with His people and bear the reproaches of men upon His shoulders. This is no sign of weakness on our Lord's part, for His hour had not yet come, the scriptures tell us, time and time again, to publicly triumph over all of His enemies through His death and through His resurrection. But it surely would come, and Christ set His eyes like flint upon that. And so Christ, for the joy set before Him, as the scriptures also say, and because He was a man of lowly in spirit, He would not and He did not lash out on all those who rejected Him, His miracles and His message of salvation. He did not complain. Thus, He would not let such hostility from sinners deter Him from carrying out what the Father had commissioned Him to do, namely to be a Redeemer of sinners. For He was charged by the Father in Isaiah 42, verse 6, with these words, and hear them this evening. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open up blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. This was Christ's goal, you see, that He was determined to bring about to redeem sinful men. But the way He would go about completing this mission would not come by earthly wisdom or by pure force or by violence or, dare I say, riots in the streets. No. Christ would accomplish this by the power of the Holy Spirit as He preached the gospel of the kingdom and manifested its true power, which is a power that is spiritual in nature. Thus we read not only He will not quarrel in verse 19, but also He will not cry out, nor will anyone hear His voice in the streets. Now, This does not mean that Christ would never open his mouth to talk, for he just spoke to the Pharisees regarding the Sabbath day. But rather it seeks to convey the manner of how he, the servant of Jehovah, would speak and proclaim his message to a dying world. The Lord Jesus, while he was on earth, congregation spoke with a gentleness in his voice, a stillness and a sweetness. He was not obnoxious. He did not parade himself in the streets for fame or fortune. No, his words came down silently like the dew, as one commentator put it. He would never engage in shouting matches that we find everywhere in this day and age, even out on the streets and in the realm of Facebook. Christ is not a fanatic, brothers and sisters. He never goes into places seeking up to stir up the pot, to stir up trouble. But instead we find him here doing what? Offering himself with warm and gracious invitations to the masses who came to him to be healed physically, but even more importantly, spiritually. In chapter 11, just one chapter before our text, Christ offers the most gracious invitation the world has ever heard, and it was our call to worship this evening. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What? For I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are the words, brothers and sisters, of a lowly Redeemer, a wonderful Savior who does not want to make a name for himself in terms of human popularity, but who truly delights in healing and restoring sinners, as we see in this text. And so when he healed people of their particular diseases, he told them to specifically not to make himself known, to not make him known, because he did not seek the spotlight of this world. It was not yet his time. You see, Christ, as a man of a lowly heart, did not want to be known as the man who could heal all of the physical diseases and disorders and sicknesses in this world, because that would not do anyone any good without embracing him as a total redeemer, a redeemer of both the body and of the soul, especially the latter, a healer of the disease which is known as sin, and it is deadlier than any coronavirus or any virus that we will face, the disease of sin. It wounds the soul and will send a sinner to hell if it is not repented of and one does not embrace Christ by faith. We must believe that it's a deadly killer, and it will be devastating if left untreated by the great physician, Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the miracle of healing the body was only a pointer to the reality that Christ can treat your deadly sin problem that we all have by giving to you as a free gift his perfect righteousness, his perfect keeping of the law, both active and his passive obedience can be yours. So although it might seem strange at first glance in this text that Jesus is ordering people to not make him known in verse 16, but by doing this, he is declaring that he does not want the world's vain praise, but only the Father's praise and glory. This is his chief concern. The word is strong here. It's ordered them. It's very strong, which comes to show all the more that the Lord Jesus is that beloved servant that Isaiah spoke of long ago, because he was consumed with the Father's glory. Elsewhere we read, "Zeal for thine house shall consume me." But at this point in Matthew chapter 12, a life of humble concealment was the Father's will for him. And he faithfully carries this out, always submitting himself to his Father's will every step of the way throughout his earthly ministry. As you read the Gospels, you will see this. Christ saying, "Not my will, but your will, O God." But in order to fulfill all righteousness, that he might be the redeemer of his people, he patiently endured and persevered for all those who would ever believe upon him. Oh, praise the Lord, congregation, for such a lowly Savior as Jesus Christ. He is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Every weakness that you might have, Christ is able to sympathize with you. And you need to know, brothers and sisters, that Christ is still this lowly Redeemer to His people today. He is still the God-man of a lowly spirit in His human nature who will minister to you in your brokenness. Are you afraid that Christ will deal harshly with you or speak to you unkindly when you sin against Him, as we so often do? When He sees you broken, He cannot be. For that would be against His nature to speak harshly or unkindly to you. He is not a quarreling or a reviling person, as we see in this text, but instead He offers Himself and all of His graces to you in your brokenness. If you would only confide in Him by faith. When you stumble or sin against the Lord and you feel as though Christ would have nothing to do with you, it is not true, my friend. That is a lie from Satan. He is a humble enough Savior. He is lowly enough to come to you where you are and to lift you up, to forgive you and to nourish you and to pick you off the ground wherever you are. So you and I can never be so low, whether that be in depression, whether that be sadness, loneliness, or hopelessness, that can keep Christ, the Redeemer, from paying you a visit if you would only open up the door to Him to minister to you in your time of need. You should say to yourself in that moment, it is a very good thing that I have been brought so low by this providence or this trial or this weakness in my flesh, because in Jesus Christ by faith, I have a Savior who associates with such a lowly person as I am. And He will be gentle with me, speaking kind words to me, as we read in the Song of Solomon, where Christ says to His bride, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with the dew and my locks with the drops of the night." Brothers and sisters, this is the voice of a gentle and lowly Redeemer who has given Himself wholly to stooping down in the midst of your struggles so that you can derive comfort in Him as you are united to Him by faith. And He can do this because He first humbled Himself by taking on flesh and giving His very life as a ransom to save sinners just like you. What can He do more for you to show that He will stoop down in your brokenness, that He died and gave His life for sinners? Christ said it Himself in Matthew 20, verse 28, "I did not come to be served by men, but I came to serve and to give my life, my very life, so that my people would be ransomed from their own sin and the damnation that comes from it eternally." His whole first coming was marked out by humility. For even Zechariah prophesied that His coming to Jerusalem would be such, when he wrote in chapter 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes to you. He is just and having salvation. He is lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." And He did just that. So, dear brothers and sisters, can you say that Christ's lowliness is a reason to rejoice when you are feeling broken and distraught? Oh, how you should. Oh, how much comfort there is to be derived in the fact that Christ is a lowly Redeemer. And so you must take yourself to Him in the midst of your helplessness. For I assure you, they will come, those moments of helplessness. If you are not already in the heat of the moments right now, cast yourself then upon the lowly human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He will not strive with you. He will not trample you in a harsh tone, but He shall minister to your spirit as a Redeemer who knows your nature personally, and He knows that you are dust, and so He will handle you with the utmost care. Welcome then such a Savior into your hearts throughout this week and throughout this life of brokenness. For this is who you need to come to and to serve you in the darkest hour of your life. Cling to a lowly Savior in the midst of your own lowliness in this life. For who better understands your lowliness than the lowliest of lowliness, the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the reason that Matthew wants you to find comfort in the Lord Jesus, because He is a lowly Redeemer. But there's also a second reason to find comfort in Christ the Redeemer in the midst of your brokenness, and it's because He is a tender Redeemer. He is a tender Redeemer. Not only is He lowly, but He accompanies with that a tenderness unlike any other. We see this in verse 20, as Matthew quotes from the rest of Isaiah 42, verse 3. Hear them once again. A bruised reed He shall not break, and smoking flax He shall not quench, till He sends forth justice to victory. Behold, the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Matthew writes of His withdrawing from the Pharisees to be among the common people in order to heal all of their diseases, the apostle wants to turn your gaze, to turn my gaze to the tender heart that the Lord has for His people. He will not break a bruised reed, nor will He quench smoking flax. Both of these statements employed originally by Isaiah are metaphors for how gently and how graciously the Messiah would deal with His own people, who were very weak and who still are very weak, very poor, without stability to stand on our own. So Christ, in healing these people who came to Him from afar, having only a very simple faith, believing that He could heal them of their sicknesses, to them He shows that He is not a Redeemer who turns away the broken and the downtrodden, because He embraces them and redeems them by His powerful grace. We see in the text that there was not a sickness, a disease that Christ could not heal. He does this for bruised reeds and for smoking flax. And this is astounding. This ought to amaze us, especially when we consider what each of these things are in their nature. A perfectly good reed is a tall, grass-like plant that is very fragile and has very little value in the ancient world and even today. It could be used to make a measure, a flute of some sort, or a pen, but a bruised reed, a broken reed, what good is that? It's worthless in of itself. What good is a broken clarinet reed, for example? Nothing. Smoking flax, on the other hand, refers to the wick of a lamp when the oil has been drained up and used up. The flame is just hardly flickering. It's barely hanging on there, about to go out with all the smoke that is coming over top of it. It's barely hanging on and it's failing to light the room, which it was what it was intended to do. And so then, putting these two metaphors together, then what good is a cracked reed or a smoking candle wick? By itself, there is none. This is who Isaiah compares us to as God's people. This is you and I, the bruised reed and the smoking flax. So one might think that when we, the broken reeds and smoking candle wicks, come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would say to us, what good can come out of you? For you are crushed. You are beaten. You are dying. You're just barely hanging on by a thread. What service could you be to my kingdom? But brothers and sisters, that is exactly what we do not see, because Christ is said to not break a bruised reed, that He will not snuff out a little flame that is so faint that you can hardly see it. He very well could. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the mighty God of Jacob. But Christ, the Redeemer, in His very nature, is a tender and a gentle shepherd who handles all of His sheep with delicacy and care. He leaves the 99 for the one. You see, when the Holy Spirit speaks of Christ not breaking and not quenching, it not only means that He will leave them there to suffer in that state, for that would not do a bruised reed or a smoking candle wick any good, but that He will bind it up, that He will repair it, that He will restore it. He will make the broken reed to make sweet music once again. That He will fan into flame the smoking wick, so that it will produce an even greater flame than it once did. For Christ, seeing that He is the divine nature and the Holy Spirit resting upon Him, He is able to gently feed His people, His lambs, as His Father shepherds His covenant people. For we read in Isaiah 40, verse 11, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs into His arms and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are young. And so, friends, Matthew, by quoting a bruised reed He shall not break, and smoking flax He will not quench, He's saying that in the person of the Lord Jesus, we have the fulfillment of these beautiful words by the way He treats the least of these in His church, in His flock, His people. This ought to bring you much comfort, brothers and sisters. This ought to bring myself much comfort that Christ graciously restores and receives to Himself the weakest members of His kingdom. He leaves no one behind. Your weakness is not a hindrance to the Lord Jesus Christ as a Redeemer. It is true that all of us can be compared to these broken reeds and smoking flax because we have been pierced by our own sins. And we have corruption within us that causes the flame in our hearts for Christ to dwindle so often. But that should be no cause to worry because Christ is found here in Matthew chapter 12 healing such people as you and I. Richard Sibbes, a Puritan minister of the 16th and 17th century, in commenting on Christ's ministry to bruised reeds and to smoking flax, says, "None are fitter for comfort than those who think themselves furthest off." Oh, how true that is. And he also said, "There is more mercy for you in Christ than there is sin in you." You will never exhaust divine mercy. Think about that. Oh, how right He was, for there is more tenderness lodged in the heart of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, than there is sin in our hearts. Praise God. That's often hard for us to believe, but brothers, it is true. Paul said that he was formerly a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was a violent man, but he had obtained mercy. Why? 1 Timothy 1:14, because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Christ has within Himself a tenderness unlike any human being. For He can make the vilest of sinners clean. He who turned to Him for mercy for the very first time, no matter how many sins they have committed, they may have committed the worst sins, but Christ has mercy for them to give and to offer to them. And He can gently bind up your wound, O hurting Christian, with His cleansing grace and His forgiveness. Therefore, people of God, you do not need to be distressed when your faith is weak or when you feel as though you have no strength within you to face the challenges that you do on a daily basis. For we all have weaknesses that we carry with us in this body of flesh. But know then that you can take your crushed and your feeble body and your feeble spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ, for He will not turn you away, but He will also tenderly and gently minister to you the oil of His grace so that your flame for Christ will not go out. He won't ever be exhausted of His tender heart to those who are united to Him by faith. You only need to come to Him as you are, bruised, broken, and smoking, yes, but also, as we talked about this morning, repentant, truly repentant, desiring cleansing, a true faith, even if it is a weak faith. Bring it to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when the father of a demon-possessed man, a child, cast himself upon the feet of Jesus, begging Him to be healed? When Christ told him that all he must do is believe, and it would be done, we read this. He then cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And what happened? Did Christ say, "That will not suffice, dear sir. Didn't you hear what I said to you? Your faith is too weak. Come back another day when you fully believe." No. He received His faith. As weak as it was, being mixed with doubt and worry, He cast out that unclean spirit, reached for the child's hand, pulled him up, and he was restored back to normal. Amazing, amazing, the tenderness of Christ. But you see, all this took place because Christ, in His very essence, is a tender Redeemer of broken people like you and me. He's in the business of healing and restoring those who find themselves in this category, who know they are spiritually bankrupt and weak. Christ says the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Heaven will be full of people who are broken. They will not be broken in glory, for they will have no sin. They will no longer sorrow, no longer weep. They will be completely perfect and holy in Christ. Praise the Lord. But on the flip side, I want to say this to you, that if you try to come to Him denying your sins, proud, feeling strong and self-confident in yourself, and not as a bruised reed and as smoking flax as we see in this text, you shall not have Him or His tenderness until you be broken. For Christ came not to save those who see themselves as righteous, Mark chapter 2, but sinners. Sinners, those who know they are nothing but sinners in the presence of a holy and righteous God. Ezekiel 34:16. Listen to these words. God seeks for those which are lost, and will bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which is broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But then we read this. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with my judgment. I don't know about you, but I would much rather be counted among those who are lame, those who are broken, those who are weak and have no strength in of our own self, because God in Jesus Christ promises to feed them with compassion and with mercy and with grace rather than the food of judgment that He gives to the self-righteous and the self-satisfied. One Puritan said, it is better to go to heaven maimed, clinging to the robes of a lowly Savior, than to go to hell whole and strong. Therefore, it is a very comforting thing indeed to be counted among the bruised reed. We should wear it as a badge of honor, smoking flax. We don't want to be to that point where we're suffering and smoking and bruised, but when we are, Christ will lavish His grace upon us, because that is who the gospel is for, my friends. We must remember that. That's the truth that the Holy Spirit wants you to take home this week, that there is a tender-hearted Redeemer for you, dear Christian, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will not crush you. He will not put your light out, though it seems that your light is going out. Christ, you can come to Him. He will not put your flame out. So find true peace and rest in the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is no better comfort that you will receive in your brokenness than to come to Christ and receive His grace. So during our time in the Word this evening, I hope that you have seen with your own eyes and tasted just how refreshing and comforting it is to know that in the person of Christ there is for you, in the midst of your brokenness, an unpleasant estate, a lowly and a tender Redeemer who will minister to you according to your nature. You need only to embrace Him by faith, for that is the only way that you can receive this amazing grace and comfort, is by coming to Him by faith. So the charge for you today from this text is to let this gentle and compassionate Redeemer into your hearts when you find yourself broken, when you find yourself desperately in need to be healed or made whole again, whether that be from your own sins and your own backsliding, which wound the soul the most, your backslidings, or when you're just left broken and crushed by others or by your own sufficiencies. Come to the Lord Jesus, who is tender. Christ, my dear friends, is the only one who can minister this healing grace to poor sinners, such as we are. And He delights in this work, for this is who He is. So when you do take yourself to Him in your brokenness, I will assure you every time that you will find Him just as Matthew presents Him here in this text, a humble and a tender-hearted Redeemer who will bind you up and give you whatever grace you need. For Christ is an ever-present help in time of need, and He wants to and He longs to help you and to be merciful and to bind up your wounds, whatever they may be, the hardest of wounds in this life. This is the Christ that you need, brothers and sisters, and this is the Christ of the gospel. Why would you go anywhere else for relief in this life when there is such a meek and a mild Redeemer available to you in the gospel, in the covenant of grace? And therefore, broken people, myself included, run to such a lovely Savior and take other broken people by the hand along with you and say to them, there is a humble and tender-hearted Redeemer who can alleviate you and who can restore and sympathize with you, such because He has done so to me. And may God the Father cause each one of us to keep such a perfect and beautiful Redeemer very near to our hearts, so that we might find healing underneath His wings, and so that we might preach and offer our beloved Christ to other broken men and women all around us who need Him so desperately, and all to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You have given to us in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that we need for this life. He is tender, He is lowly, and He is a gentle Redeemer of sinners such as we are. And so we're thankful that this is who will come to us in our aid, and that we can call out to You and cry out to You, and that You will be gentle with us. You will be lowly, and You will be humble, and You will be tender. And so, Father, we thank You that the servant of Jehovah, as we have read in Isaiah 42 and in this text, is on our side. And if there be any here tonight who does not know the tender mercy and grace of this Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that You would open up their eyes to Him and draw them to Yourself, that they might see so clearly the depth of their sin and run to a merciful Savior who can pardon all of their iniquity. And so, God, we praise You that we have this gift, this wonderful gift, Christ our Redeemer. And so we cling to Him, and we pray that You would cause our hearts to run to Him in times of need, and when we are desperate and when we are broken. We pray this in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.